Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. You're listening to the Corner Office Podcast from Marketplace, and today we are going to talk about hats.
We're expecting you. Won't you have a seat?
Ready to go to work?
We're talking Stetson hats to be specific. It's named after its inventor, John B. Stetson, who started his company in 1865. You have, I'm sure, seen one. Large crown, wide brim. But today, Stetson sells a whole lot more than just those hats. They've got fragrances, boots, belts, branded bourbon, even. Izumi Kajimoto is the chief executive of Stetson Worldwide. She took over in 2012 after a career in fashion that ran 27 years, working for fashion giants like Calvin Klein, Ralph Lauren, and Donna Karan, to name just a few. And I met her on the 10th floor of a building in New York's Fashion District.
We are at the world headquarters of Stetson Worldwide, 151 years old in 2016. And this is where we're housed. This is our home.
This is not what I would imagine a big, giant hat company would look like. This isn't the company of even 50 years ago.
No. This isn't the America of 50 years ago. Yeah. And I guess it's a little bit surprising. And you know, not to get into too complicated explanations of business models. This is the showroom. This is where we have encapsulated what the whole world of Stetson is. This is where we've preserved and kept life into this long history.
There is all kinds of history here.
I mean,
so there's a giant picture on the wall over there of,
yes,
I think that's the manufacturing plant from Philadelphia. Right?
Yes, that was the factory in its heyday.
At one point, the biggest hat factory in the world, right?
Yeah, employed over 5,000 people, I think it's like 3-4 million hats a year.
Wow.
And it was one-stop manufacturing, basically. Fur came in the back and hats went out the front.
And then, to sort of cut to the chase, mm-hmm, John Kennedy came along and American men stopped wearing hats.
Oh, that's the poetry of it, but...
is that not the reality? Okay, good.
Yeah, it's the highlighted... history of it. You know, it is poetic and it is true in a sense, but that trend had been happening for a while.
Yeah.
Since about World War II, the end of World War II, there had been decline in hat sales, for sure. Certainly in the United States for men.
There's a great quote from you somewhere in the literature that I was reading.
Mm-hmm.
You think American men are I'm paraphrasing, are afraid to look silly wearing hats or something like that.
Yeah.
We're fashion chickens, right?
I've been doing this for a while, and relatively speaking, I think American men tend to be conservative compared to, you know, more fashion conscious or just the average European and Asian man. But that's part of the challenge. And I think hats are a further challenge to that circumstance because it's on your head.
Yeah.
It is on your head.
And you're walking around with it.
Uh-huh.
If it doesn't look great, if you haven't got the right head on the right hat, or the right hat on the right head.
Yeah. Well, it's more than the head, it's the face. You know, a hat,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, the hat covers your head, but it surrounds your face. And it's as such, it really is the most intimate article on your person.
Here we are in the middle of the fashion district in New York City in this is the sort of the center of the fashion universe, arguably. Are you a fashion company?
In a way, yes. And we have to be, because we are providing a non-essential item of apparel that a person can decide to take or not take.
Right.
And how we appeal to that question, it's not 100% utilitarian. It's not, you know, it's not to keep yourself from being injured. In that sense, we fall in the realm of fashion that it's discretionary. We have to have some sort of appeal that is emotional, something other than the absolutely practical and utilitarian. And in that sense, I would describe it as fashion. But on the other hand, at the same time, like I said, we have this history, and we have, you know, we have a romance that's, you know, very, very ingrained and parallel to the history and romance of this whole country.
Right.
And if you want to look at it in a purely commercial sense, we need to tap into that and take advantage of that and maximize that.
What are you doing? Are you going after Brooklyn hipsters? Are you going after aging professional men? Are you looking for, teenagers? I mean, who are you trying to sell these hats to?
that's kind of a no-brainer, 1, 2, 3, because it's, again, if our identity as a fashion company, if you will, is dictated by our history, and I think it should be, this is our legacy, and this is what we're custodians of, we represent America in so many ways, and you can't trivialize that, and you can't minimize that, and it's, all the crazy diversity that is, those little subgroups that you mentioned, they're all part of the American identity, and we need to be part of that. We should be.
Is it okay with you that if I said Stetson to 10 people out there, they would say, oh, yeah, big Western cowboy hats?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's reality, and that's what creates our jobs. Yeah. And that's the reason why we were born. That's the reason why we exist. That's the reason why we continue to exist and survive through a lot of hard times in the hat industry. The Western hat has saved this company's butt more than once. For the first time in its establishment and creation, because it is the Western hat that caused John B. Stetson, the founder, to be successful. Rather than be, lose competitively to all the dress hat makers of the time, he created a new hat for a new audience, for a new demography, for a new, geographical swath of America that hadn't been addressed commercially before. So we were able to survive up to now.
At the end of the day or the week or mm-hmm. whenever you pause to take stock, mm-hmm. what is your measure of success?
One is getting hats back into the relevancy, the immediate relevancy of lifestyle that it once enjoyed. This has been around for 151 years, and it couldn't have been possible unless you are relevant for each time. And that's the measure of success. That, you ask 10 people on the street, what is Stetson? I have no fear, and I'm proud of the 9 out of 10 who says, oh, it's a Western cowboy hat. Right. But what I do fear is the one who says, oh, that used to be. Stetson used to be something. Too bad they don't exist anymore. I think there are people who believe that. So that is the perception that I fear. And the measure of success is eradicating that, knowing that, whether it's the most relevant thing in their lifestyle or not, people know that we are here, we exist, and we're relevant, and we evolve with what's happening today, as we did when today was 100 years ago.
Do you guys have, is Christmas a busy time for you? Spring?
Yes,
the hat season?
Holidays, very,
really?
Very
People like
very
give
important.
Hats for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting. That kind of tugs at my business mind a bit, because hats are extremely intimate and personal. Extremely. Mm-hmm. And even for this, self-conscious, conservative American man, just because your wife or girlfriend tells you you look great in something.
Oh, yeah, no, forget it. No chance.
You might be okay in her presence. You might be okay to walk out of the house.
Maybe.
But, the second your buddy says,
what are you doing? Right, that's exactly it. That's exactly it.
So it's extremely personal. And, while I treasure the holidays, which is a big uptick in sales for sure, and we know that a lot of it is from gifting, what's more important to me is creating a repeat customer out of that guy. That's how that needs to be leveraged.
So this is more than you need to know, but when my dad died, mm-hmm. I got a hat from him that he'd had for probably 15 or 20 years. Mm-hmm. I think dad died 11, 12 years ago, whatever it is. I've worn it twice, and it's in my closet. Because I don't look bad in it, mm-hmm. but I put it on and I go out of the house and I'm like, oh no. And I turn around and go back in.
And then there's, for every person like you, we've met 5 or 10 who have that exact same story and do wear that hat every day and come to us and ask, I don't want to wear it to death because it's my dad's. Can I get a new one? And we have it. We have it. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to show you.
I was just going to say, I have to try on some of those hats now. All right, so let's give that a whack.
Knock yourself out.
Well, I don't even know. All right, so we'll go with the cowboy hat first, right?
Yeah.
Now, what is this that I have?
Beautiful color. Check it out.
Wow. All right, so it's a sort of a dark grayish, wide brim.
Mm-hmm. It's a little fancy because it's got silver fittings on the...
Silver little belt buckle
thing. On the band.
I'm going to sound really stupid.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know it's on forward or backward? A little
bow
goes on the back?
The little bow goes on the back.
All right,
good. Yeah.
Okay.
We drop hints everywhere.
All right. Well, thank God.
Yes,
brim goes up or brim goes down?
To your taste.
Really?
Yeah. It's
fundamentally, it's all to my taste, right?
Absolutely.
I like this color and I like the look.
Wonderful. All right.
I'm not actually ever going to wear it in public because I'm that bashful fashion guy.
Yeah. Well,
but I'm confounded by brims. I can never decide up or down.
Actually, we probably have one in your size of that one. I mean, that's another one. It's the ubiquitous Stetson. And the cool thing is we have hipsters and rock stars wearing them, and they look great in that, too. It's kind of...
Yeah, but see, you can be a hipster and a rock star and get away with it. You can't be like me, average Joe. That's the catch.
Yes, you can.
Well, and it's all the mental.
You're challenging me on everything that I just said. And it's like, is this a?
I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm just.
No. It's a daily challenge.
I'm your potential market.
Exactly.
Right? Because I would really love. I mean, if you know, I would love to be able to have the flair and the.
You do. It's not your responsibility to find the flair. It's our responsibility to propose the hat,
and then to be able to have the panache to say, you know what. I like this hat, even if everybody else doesn't.
You don't think about everybody. You don't address the void. You don't address the negative. You enhance the positive, and you know it when you got it.
Well, I will say this. I will at least keep an open mind. How about that?
Mm-hmm. And it's not about how do I look. You'll know.
All right.
There is a hat for every head. Despite yourself, you will be happy and satisfied with what you look like in a hat.
Yep.
And, no one's going to talk you into it.
Right.
But yourself.
Right. Who designs your hats? I mean, do you?
It's collaborative, but the nuts and bolts designer is located at the factory. It's very hands-on.
And he or she sits there and says, well, I'm going to make the brim this wide and the crown this high. Really?
Yeah. There's a little, and once again, I'm going to throw a random parallel out there. Let's say sunglasses and eyewear. Another thing that goes
on
your face.
Right.
It's a matter of eighths of inches and millimeters makes the total difference. Everything that you're talking about. Now, I'm not a hat guy. I look like a this. I look like a that. A quarter inch makes a difference. And so the precision, you would think, what's the hat? This hat, that hat. What's the difference? There's a big difference in these minutiae. And the designers are very rare, whether it's trend or just the idea of flattering every face type, every attitude, they're experts on it.
I was talking to Alan Mulally once when he was the CEO of Ford, and we had a conversation about the manufacturing process. And I asked him, who decides where the taillights go, what shape they are, and this and that? I mean, who has the final sign-off? And he said, me. Who decides what Stetson hats look like in the final analysis?
It's not one person. It's not one person. It's a consensus. Majority in the production and manufacturing end because, they are very, very hands-on. But that's also our job. There's a reason why we're in New York.
Right.
There's a reason why the people who staff this office are of the background that we are. It's because we need to not follow, but lead. And that's where the idea of fashion and also, integrated with, again, the idea of a viable, powerful, legacy relevant, these words, company has to have is, knowing what people want, will covet as an object of desire, maybe even before they do. So it's a group effort for sure.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
That was Izumi Kajimoto, the CEO of Stetson Worldwide. And I'm Kai Rizdal. This was an episode of Corner Office, a podcast from Marketplace. We'll see you next time.